Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But what is this kingdom? And what is this heaven? And what is at hand? The kingdom of heaven is a worthy theme for reflection today, because it is the one thing Jesus tried to teach his 12, but for the most part, they couldn't get it. To begin with, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus preached it, is not so much about geography or authority as it is about a state of being. The kingdom of heaven, properly understood, is the ruling of God in our hearts. Christianity is not about going to heaven as a reward at the end of an earthly life, as it is about being on earth as it is in heaven. It's about living up to a claim that we were created for eternity, and therefore living a life that lives up to that claim. What we know from today's gospel is that Jesus came to preach a kingdom. But it wasn't so much a kingdom that made men abandon their nets and follow him. It was something more. The question was not so much what kingdom, what heaven, and what God. After all, the notion of a kingdom, a heaven, and a God wasn't anything new. What was new, however, was the reality of when. When is the kingdom? When is heaven? When is God? And this mystery of the kingdom was elusive then, as it is today. When Jesus says the kingdom is at hand, he is saying the kingdom is now, that heaven is now, that God is now. That's a very different paradigm of reality, and one that is not easily possessed. But in order to approach this understanding, the great spiritual leaders of our tradition say that we must believe in two things. First, we must believe in the power of the present moment. And second, we must believe in miracles. In speaking about the present moment, we look to St. Paul, who said, "Now is the acceptable time. Now is always the time of salvation." Paul is essentially saying that we can no longer dwell in the past or daydream about the future, because, as he says, time is running out. But for the most part, we do struggle to live in the present moment, where we find ourselves too preoccupied, too distracted, and too restless to be present to anything. And that's why any spiritual teacher would tell us that only prayer can calm the restless heart. It's ironic that we have the phrase "peace of mind," because there can be nothing further from the truth. Because you will never be at peace when you're in your mind, and you will never be in your mind when you're at peace. St. Teresa of Lisieux said, "I am not waiting for any future to be better than the present." God is not waiting for any future. And then she gives us a spiritual punchline, which is both liberating and startling, when she says, "God knows that every future comes in the present." Which is to say, unless we change now, then how we are now is how we will be forever. How we love now is how we will love forever. How we forgive now is how we will forgive forever. And it cuts both ways. If we are living up to our dignity in Christ now, then we are living the kingdom of God now. However, if we are not living up to our dignity in Christ, then the only opportunity we have to change is now, not tomorrow, not later, and not in the future, because tomorrow only exists in our minds. The only thing that we know that is certain is this moment. Because when it comes to change, we will always negotiate change on our terms when it's convenient for us. When we win the lottery, when our spouse changes, when our 2.5 children become perfect, and on and on. So what makes men drop their nets, abandon their livelihoods, and follow a stranger? The answer is obvious to his followers. Jesus is the answer to a question. And the answer has become a person, the eternal truth where humanity and divinity meet. The second point is equally important as the first. We have to believe in miracles. Albert Einstein once said, "There are only two ways of looking at the world. Either we see nothing as a miracle, or we see everything as a miracle." The thing about miracles is that they are often hidden in plain sight. A most obvious example would be the general observation that all of us gathered here this morning at this place and time in history is a miracle. If we think about it long enough, we wonder what brings us to this place of worship every Sunday, where we gather out of a common desire to respond to something that we can't quite explain, something within us and yet something beyond us. And then imagine all the insurmountable odds in your life as one part of the same fabric that runs through all our lives, our sufferings, our pains, and our disappointments. And despite all that life can throw at us and do to us, we are still here. And the church says, amen. How could anything less be a miracle? The miracle, my friends, is that we are part of this thing called the mystical body of Christ. This people of God who gathers to celebrate what God has done, and the church says amen. And as the mystical body of Christ, we encounter the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and the church says amen. Because once we get the miracle here in our lives, then we can get the miracle of the one life at the altar. Once we get transformation here in our hearts, then we get transformation here at the altar. And then we understand in a very mystical way how it can only happen now, where we come to God not only with our own personal pains and sufferings, but we come with the pains and the sufferings of the world, with everything that we cannot change, we cannot control, and we cannot transform. And we hand it over to God, and the church says, amen.